As we read in Psalm 103 this evening about the Lord, the blessed Lord, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, redeems our life from destruction, and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is where we'll begin in just a moment. I'd like to read the letter that Brother Dave wanted me to share before we begin our lesson. To all the saints here at the Columbus Street Church of Christ who have uplifted me by their love, first let me say that I have always been of the mind that I don't need get well cards, but I've been overwhelmed with cards, letters, and calls from the members of the Lord's body. All this has changed my mind about cards. It is truly a blessing. Your prayers, concern, and love through the many cards have really helped me through my trial. I cannot begin to express just how much the love of all my brothers and sisters has encouraged and strengthened me throughout this time. I thank you for supporting me financially and spiritually throughout my absence. I plan to get back on track, preaching and teaching as God gives me strength, and if I don't have a flare-up. According to the doctors, I have a long road ahead of ups and downs. My eyes are looking above where my Lord and King is, and by his strength I'll continue to work in his kingdom, evangelizing everywhere I am and teaching and preaching as he gives me strength. Please know I praise God for you all for your loving concern. Love in Christ, Dave Scarpino. As Brother Dave added this morning, he gives so much praise to God, and he's blessed so richly by his loving wife who has helped him through this time. So now, as we think about Psalm 103, of the healing and the forgiving and the crowning of love with loving kindness and tender mercies, we had a good lesson recently about a man who certainly understood all these things. Let's read about him over in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, we read, after Jesus was arrested, and Peter, and how he responded to the events that were unfolding. In verse 69, we read, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Here's a man who is at the bottom. He has sunk to the depths of his soul with sadness and grief. And there's only one way to help him, and that's that living hope that he had through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because he knew that once that happened, that the kingdom would come and that he would be endued with power from on high, as we see over in Luke chapter 24, where Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." As we learned this morning, there's a time when you're in need spiritually. We all go through those times. But we can be endued with the power and the promise of the Father as we go to the Scriptures. We know how Peter and the apostles and those who followed and believed the miracles and obeyed the gospel as they sowed the seed of the kingdom. We know how they obtain this power to live a holy life, to be bold and stand against all the wickedness. They were able to receive the blessings that we read about in Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 16, there we read, the Lord Jesus and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this is how Peter was able and the others were able to be healed of their iniquities and to have spiritual life, because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They were endued with power on high. And it's that grace that we sung about, that God blessed all the peoples with the grace that brings salvation. See, we're in Titus chapter 2. We read there of that grace that brings salvation. In verse 11, we read, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. The purification that we read about there is only through the blood of Christ. And Peter and the apostles, they taught this and they stood for it. And they exhorted and spoke the truth and rebuked with all authority. For they had the authority of Christ, that Christ dwelled in their hearts by faith. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 3 as we read of an incident early in the life of the church after Peter was converted. And he preached Jesus. But before he preached Jesus, we read there in Acts chapter 3 that he, at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, he and John went up to the temple together. In verse 2 we read, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Stopping just for a moment, we find that this man was over 40 years old, and so we see how much in need he was. He needed more than he realized. And here he saw Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, and he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from him. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We'll stop there and think about the message that we can draw from this, that so many are looking for monetary gifts as they look to the church and they look to God. But here Peter is just giving the most priceless thing, that this man could know God through Jesus and rise up and walk and give God glory. And so Peter took this man, as it says in verse 7, by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. It's a great setting for the sermon that Peter is going to share with them, because here they needed to understand what had just happened, the purpose of this miracle. It would confirm the word that Peter would give them. And it says in verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Then he goes on to preach about Jesus as the servant who is now glorified. And so the first point is that he preaches about Jesus as the suffering servant of prophecy. The suffering servant of prophecy. We see that beginning in verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, that is through Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And so, referring to the scriptures, this is more evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, that he is the Messiah and always will be, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see there that he begins his sermon very powerful by appealing to prophecy. Then he also refers to Jesus as the great prophet of prophecy. We see that in verses 22 through 24 of his sermon. Acts 3, verse 22, we read, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." And so, once again, he goes to prophecy in the first section of his sermon. He's appealing to Jesus and his purpose for coming to the earth to be a Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, to suffer, as we read in Isaiah 53 and other passages. And here he points to Jesus as a great prophet, the one who would speak. We know in Hebrews chapter 1 that God, in the last days, the latter days of which we live, it says there in verse 1, he has, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." So the prophet, as it says there in Peter's sermon, we must hear that prophet, meaning ears to hear, that in obedience to the instructions and righteousness. We see that over in Hebrews chapter 5 as well. In Hebrews 5 It says in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And so he was perfected. He completed his task, and he can perfect us with that perfect love as long as we abide in him and his doctrine. And then over in Hebrews chapter 10, we see the consequences of those who would not obey. It says in verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse son of punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Then we read in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Lord will judge his people, and it is through Jesus, the righteous judge. And so the desire of the Lord through the Holy Spirit speaking on behalf of this man who was healed and now able to stand up for Jesus with all authority, he commands them in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There was an impending judgment that would take place regarding the Jews in the Jerusalem, as Jesus prophesied, and as many prophets did as well, of that destruction that would come in 70 AD. And so they needed to be aware, and we all need to be aware of the judgment. And we know that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things which are done in the body, whether good or bad. And so we must hear and obey. This is the powerful message. It's simple, but it's a fight that we must fight to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. And then he also brings out in a couple of verses at the end of his sermon about Jesus being the seed promise to Abraham. In verse 25, we read there, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities, speaking in a general sense to the Jewish people, and that they would be the first to have this opportunity to obey. And then very soon following, there would be the gospel that Peter would preach to Cornelius and command him to be baptized, to obey, and he did, he and all his household. So regarding this, we also see in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 16, speaking of Jesus and Abraham, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So we know from this amazing work of God that God brought about life from the deadness of Sarah's womb. Isaac was born. And then from Isaac, his descendants came, men like David, Zerubbabel, and others. Then eventually Joseph, the father of David, the son of David, the father of Jesus. Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law. And he was born in the fullness of time to redeem those who were under the law. For the law is not capable of saving. Jesus, the grace that we've just sung about, is the amazing grace that we read about through the Holy Spirit. And this sermon that Jesus made possible for Peter to preach. So the land promise that we read about in Genesis, the nation promise, and the protection promise, all these things were made, but they were made to bring the seed promise to the earth. They all were purposed, the purpose of them was just to bring about the seed promise so that all men could be saved. And it's a sad day when people do not see the spiritual nature of God's kingdom, and they want to live for a day when Jesus will come back to the earth in physical form, in some form. We do not know how it will begin because there's nothing in the scriptures. It's all false doctrine. But they believe in this premillennial view, and they look for an earthly reign of Christ over the enemy. But the enemy has already been defeated. We read that in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." That is our living hope. Our God of hope has made it possible for us to have this comfort, this confidence, to be sanctified so that we could be made perfect through sufferings. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, we read there, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So our faith, it should be as Peter, where he was transformed by the renewing of his mind. The Holy Spirit enabled him and strengthened him, as we read in Ephesians, strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. And so he was able to deal with the persecutions that would follow after this sermon. You see that in Acts chapter 4. In verse 1, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And so here the persecutions begin, but also we see in the verses 1 through 4, growth begins. The growth begins because of the godly fear, and as we sung in the song, the fear of God took over, and there was no fear of what man could do to them. For we know God is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, and that is the fear that drove them to be bold. That fearless preaching that they continued to do in difficult circumstances. They faced the persecution that you can read about through verses 5 through 22 of Acts chapter 4. They were commanded not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They knew the source, and they knew the power of God to deliver them, and they had desire to be with Jesus again one day. They knew he'd gone to prepare a place for them. We must know these things and be fully assured. So in verse 21, we read, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done." They preached about Jesus being rejected and fulfilling that prophecy that we read about in Psalms 118. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." In other words, the kingdom had come, the church, the kingdom of God, those who were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus, but yet they would not repent. They would not give up. They loved the world instead of God, and they continued on in their persecution. So finally, because of growth and because of persecutions, the people needed to come together after they were let go from this group of the rulers, the elders and the scribes and the high priest. After they were let go, it says in verse 23, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. In other words, they prayed to give themselves more strength. They knew that the high priest, the mediator, would be hearing Jesus Christ. And they said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. And now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you see, it's not just the miracles, but the miracles had a purpose, and they would bring people to see that the word that was being spoken was true. It needed this because of all the enemies that would stand against God. They needed proof of these things. And so the Spirit was leading them, enabled them, he would give them, they didn't have to take heed of what they would have, need to say. The Spirit would give them in that hour what to say. And he did. He gave Peter the information that he needed to say to them about prophecy and being the suffering servant, about being the great prophet of prophecy, and about that seed promised to Abraham. All these things would show that God had been working through the ages to bring about salvation. We can also see in chapter 5 that there was a sad time of fear because of Ananias and Sapphira who lied to God. And without going into that with much detail, we know that God took their lives, and it prompted great fear. As it says in verse 11 of chapter 5, and great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So this God in his work needed to do this to bring about great fear. We know it happened in the days of Joshua with Achan and his greediness to take those things from Jericho, that there must be fear in God, that we should be true to God and not be hypocritical. And then you go on in chapter 5, briefly we see there that they were beaten, and when they were continuing to preach, they were beaten. And after they were beaten, it says there they were commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they were let go. Then verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Yes, there are those who would look upon us with disdain and despise us, and they would do whatever they can. There are those who like to murder Christians, but we will stand firm, and knowing that we have the Holy Spirit and we have the seat of the kingdom, that we have a blessed assurance that Jesus is ours, and that we can live a life and live for the Jesus, as we sung this morning. In order to live for Jesus, there must be a desire to be his child. In order to be a child of Jesus, we must obey where Jesus said, in order to see the kingdom of God, we must be born of water and the Spirit. In order to be born of water and the Spirit, we must have the instructions of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, that he said that we must repent or perish. And he said that as far as the boldness, we must not only confess Jesus at the beginning of our spiritual life, but throughout our lives. And we must be baptized, for we know by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body and made to drink into one Spirit. So let us put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith. And if there are those who have not done so, have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, this is a great opportunity. There's no other opportunity possibly. It has to do with our lives being like a vapor which appears for a little time. We need to look at today as being the day of salvation. So if there's a need for prayers and for help from the body of Christ, we're here to do that. We're here to express our love and care for all and encourage all to continue on, grounded and settled in the truth. So now let us sing as we worship God.